What's up, y'all? Welcome to Freedom of Mind. It's your boy Ray Will. I want to talk about the Black Church. That's what I want to talk about on this episode, y'all. And I'm pretty much going to touch on, first of all, what is the Black Church, where it comes from, the history of it, the importance that it had in the Black community, and pretty much where it's at now. And then I got my Speak Your Mind for y'all segment, which should, you know, be after, right after this intro. And some of the reasons why I want to talk about, well, I guess the reason why I want to talk about Black churches or this particular subject is because I noticed a shift in the Black community. And I think some of the shift and the reasons why is because of the lack of presence of Black churches. And obviously, I remember, you know, growing up, and you know, I grew up and, you know, going to churches when I was younger. And, you know, obviously, you know, I've experienced it. So, but y'all stay tuned, y'all. You know, I said stay tuned. Y'all look out for the next stuff that's going on this podcast, y'all. What's going on, y'all? This is Ray Wills speaking my mind. Check this out, man. I just got done watching Judas and the Black Messiah. And I'm going to state my opinion about it. And to me, it represents a prime example of white supremacy, you know? And what I mean by that is how they decided to, you know, how they decided to infiltrate, how they decided to put down the Black Panther Party, you know, because it's like, why would you do it that way? You know, right? So I do understand that that's how the FBI likes to do it. That's how they work. And they like to try to damage the image of someone or something that they're after. And that's exactly what they help do, right? So we got this brother who's Judas, so to speak, of the movie, you know, after the title, William O'Neill or Bill O'Neill. He was an informant. And, you know, that was, you know, he was an informant for the FBI. And I guess his job was to gather information, you know, from the Black Panther, you know, that the Chicago chapter, right? And the guy who was running the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party at the time was young Fred Hampton. So I don't want to get too into the movie. I just want to explain myself. But he, you know, so O'Neill, he got real deep into it and got involved and became an important officer or a high ranked member of that chapter. And, you know, ultimately he ended up getting Fred Hampton killed, right? And then, you know, I don't want to tell you too much about the movie, but, you know, he pretty much, you know, Hampton was at a very vulnerable situation because of O'Neill's efforts, you know. And so if there were a percentage of blame, I would say 70-30. 70 being the FBI and 30 being O'Neill for Hampton's death. And I'm sure people would disagree with that, but because at the end of the day, they're ultimately responsible. But O'Neill obviously is a sellout, you know, because the ultimatum was either, because, you know, they caught him doing a crime and they were like, hey, either you going to be an informant or your ass is going to jail. So he took the informant deal, you know, and so, you know, he ended up doing that. But the whole situation was organized. I think they had another informant in there, the FBI. And ultimately, they shot and killed Hampton. They killed him. Okay, really, honestly, they didn't even need O'Neill to go and do that. What the hell was so hard about figuring out where the damn man lived? They probably already knew where he lived anyway. Find out where the man lived and shoot his ass. That's what. But they wanted to play this little sick little game. You know, I'm thinking they doing it just to make it look like it is our fault to why he died. So let's get some black guys in there, get them to gather information, and then blame it on them at the end of the day. Look, there's a movie. This movie is centered around a snitch or a sellout going after a black man who's running a black organization. And the FBI also set after to tarnish and damage Black Panther's image. And it worked. For a long time, people were thinking, and people still do think, that the Black Panther was some kind of terrorist group. Some black people think that too. Especially uneducated, uninformed black people. So, mission accomplished. That's what they do. White supremacy does stuff like this, right? So they did it with slavery. Because I'm not buying that narrative that slaves traded other, you know, Africans traded themselves and turned them in and they became slaves. Get the fuck out of here. I don't believe that. That's bullshit to me, right? Because the whole thing was organized by them. They put this shit together. They do it and they play mind games with us. And then they get us pointing the fingers at each other. So I'm not falling for that bullshit because I'm looking at the overall picture. It's just like this. It's just like if you have two kids and you hold your kid, your older kid, responsible for the younger kid. Obviously, they're older and they should be more responsible, right? And they get into some trouble, but come to find out it was the older kid who influenced the younger kid to do it. So as a parent, a good parenting, you're going to look at the older kid like, hey, you're responsible. You influenced your little brother to do this. You made him do this. So you're getting more of the trouble than the younger brother. Does that make sense, people? It does to me. So another example I want to use is, you know, because this is regarding perception. I recall there's this movie, I believe it's called American something. It was American, but it was with Tom Cruise. Pretty much he was a pilot. And he was shipping drugs in and out of America, from, you know, in and out of Central America and America. And he was doing it for the CIA. And they threatened his freedom. I don't see anyone going around talking about, oh, he's a sellout to his country. I don't hear it. But we got this brother right here, and he got a bad rep, and he deserved it. But people are participating with it in this perception because you got a lot of racist-ass people that want us to think that we are against each other and we're our biggest enemy. We're not our biggest enemy. White supremacy is. That's our biggest fucking enemy. But see, they play it off. And they want to play incident and don't want to be held accountable. So that's my take, y'all. I'm just saying, don't fall for the okie doke. You got people playing games with you. That's what we got to go through in this country, in this society, is being played with. And just stop it. Don't fall for it, y'all. Speak your mind, y'all. This is Freedom of Mind. Yeah, black churches, y'all. You know, first of all, make no mistake of the origins of the black church. And I'm gonna have to start with Africa, right? So, you know, I was told by a colleague of mine, or you know, not colleague, but a coworker of mine, you know, who's African, and he was telling me that white people set up missionaries in Africa that helped them convert to Christianity. And let's take that and think, like, okay, before they were, you know, snatched, you know, they may have been introduced to Christianity that way, but if they weren't, they was gonna definitely learn about what Christianity was once they go to where they were going, which were, you know, somewhere in the Americas, right? So in particular, we're talking about black churches and obviously in America. So let's say that the slave, or, you know, the African ended up going to, to the United States. So, you know, most likely the South, right? And yeah, you're going to learn there. And so let me get something for y'all real quick, a little bit of research. Don't want to bore y'all, put y'all to sleep, but check this out. So Baptist churches, you know, were all around the South, and black people got involved with, you know, not just Baptists, but Methodists too. They were, you know, all around the South, and black people start getting involved in, you know, slaves, and they formed their own congregations. Yeah, but keep in mind, this is obviously around slavery, and they got involved, and then they start having their congregations within their areas. You know, it's kind of similar to Nat Turner, right? And he was a slave preacher, and he was preaching to his you know, other fellow slaves, and preaching them the word. And you know, he knew how to read, which is rare. Obviously, you got to know how to read. You know, in order for you to preach, you know, you got to be able to know how to read, and, you know, read the Bible. And so we got that going. And then after slavery, you know, probably was a little bit before, but after slavery, we our congregations became, start having structured churches. And then it followed after slavery. So, you know, and then especially after slavery, a lot of black communities thrived, you know. And a big reason why they thriving, and where they were able, it was kind of like an epicenter. You know, the money flowing through and decisions and community decisions were being made within the church. And it's been like that even well after slavery, and, you know, into the 20th century. And no, I can't get real specific with you guys, because no, I'm not a scholar or a historian or anything like that. So I'm just kind of like breezing through it and just pretty much, so to speak, giving my two cents. But what I'm getting at is just how important black churches were to the black community. Very important. There were even, for what I believe, there were even colleges, institutions that were either that started off as churches, or they were funded by churches, black churches. So, you know, these places were really important. These churches were, and obviously the pastors of these churches, you know, had a profound impact, and, you know, and an influence, and obviously making decisions or whatnot on, you know, on behalf of the church. I believe I was watching African American Lives
And Chris Tucker, you know, obviously he's from Georgia. And the town where his family thrived from, they've been there and they still there. We talking about generations. His family has been in the same town in Georgia for years, for, you know, well over a century. They were there. That's his origin with his family. And they ran a church, and that church is still there. And Henry Louis Gates was asking him, his grandfather, like, why haven't you guys left? And he was like, what was going on? And they were explaining, they found out. Well, he found out that, like, I think Chris Tucker's like great grandfather or great great grandfather made a decision to stay there because he had to take care of the church, and he had to and do that church. He was making decisions for the community. So, you know, that's just how important these churches are, man, or they were. And then, you know, you flash forward to nowadays, you look at these churches, and first of all, you look at the guys that are running them, and some of them thrive a lot, you know, to where you see, you know, not all of them, but some of them, they got these mega churches, or they got these big, huge, you know, structured churches, or they may be at a basketball arena that because the congregation is so huge. And, you know, obviously, you know, the money that these guys got, you know, I don't want to say no names. I don't personally know them, obviously. But, you know, you got some cats, whatever, they got private jets and all that. And asking their congregation to help them get another jet, you know. So it's like these guys are really making a lot of money. And, you know, they're making money from the congregation, you know, through offering and tithes. And there's a number of things that you can read to them from the Bible, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, kind of like justify, you know, the amount of money that you're getting. And I'm not here to try to dispute any of that. I'm just telling you my opinion on that situation, but not really delving into it too much. But y'all get the picture. But you know, you look at these preachers or these pastors or these spiritual leaders, religious leaders, if you want to call it, you know, they've been thriving from these churches. A lot of money that they're making, a lot of money that they've made, and not only that, the impact that they have on these people, the influence that they have on these people, impact and influence. So, you know. And then you reflect on like what has happened to the black church. I think that has something to do with it, because you do got these preachers who are just really thriving off these congregations. And it's like, it's not really the community benefited from it, so to speak. And don't get me wrong, not all pastors are like this, but some of them are. And it's like, it doesn't seem like the community is thriving enough from it. Seems more like he is. So, you know, or her. So, you know, these are some of the things that I see what's been going on with, you know, with the black church. And then you look at society, like if you look at our young black brothers and sisters, man. And where is the discipline? Where is the spiritual direction, so to speak? You know, where is the divine intervention? Where is the honor, the respect? You know, it's not there. And I think some of that has to do with the lack of the church presence. Now, don't get me wrong. I haven't went to church in a while. And I have my skepticisms. And I can get into that. You know, obviously, I've been skeptic about Christianity ever since I was a kid. Honestly, when I was a little, probably since I was born, my parents were going to the Kingdom Hall. And, you know, my mother was a longtime witness, Jehovah's Witness. And then, so we were going to the Kingdom Hall for a little while. up until I was younger, you know, I'm guessing, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe a little older. But we stopped going to the Kingdom Hall and then we started going to the church. But I was probably a little older, so maybe like 7 maybe, or 8. But anyhow, while I was still, where we were still going to the Kingdom Hall, it was this little yellow book, right? And this yellow book was called Stories of the Bible. And it pretty much showed illustrations of people in the Bible. And it was like a Bible for a kid. And it really helped me understand the Bible. But the thing was that all of the people, the illustrations that they had, the pictures that they had on there, it had all white people in the Bible, all of them. And, you know, growing up with a pro-black father, I knew, I was like, something ain't right about this. Like, why is everyone white? And then, you know, as I was going through it, you know, I used to go through it day by day, you know, when I eventually got to around the middle of the book, right? And, you know, that's when you start seeing Jesus, right? And I saw Jesus, like, he's this white guy. I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus is white too? Man, oh my goodness. Like, wow, why is everyone in here white? But I knew that something wasn't right about that, you know, because it's like, everybody can't be white. So that kind of got me thinking about Christianity. Like, I'm just skeptic about it. It's something fishy about it, you know? So, you know, then I started, you know, as I was getting older, I started asking, you know, just curious and asking questions, you know, and, you know, to different various people. And obviously you're going to be like, you know, is Jesus real? Is, you know, is Christianity, you know, is it true? Or, you know, all these different, you know, these curiosities that I have, you know, all this different stuff in the Bible, you know, the whole Adam and Eve story, is that true? Or, you know, the whole, you know, the whole, you know, Garden of Eden story, and, you know, a lot of questions about Jesus, you know, like, what is going on with, why is everybody talking about Jesus but himself? Like, where is Jesus at? Where is his book at? Where is the book of Jesus? You know, where is his account at? You know, why is everybody else speaking for him? He couldn't speak for himself, you know, different things like that. So I've always been skeptical of Christianity, and I still am, you know, but my beliefs of Christianity is probably not where they should be. I would consider myself more of a spiritual person. I've always felt that way. But despite that, of my personal beliefs, I do know that the black church is important. I really do. I know how important it is, because it helped keep our communities together. And it didn't necessarily, we didn't get, you know, distracted too much. But again, it has its perks, and then it has its pros and its cons, right? So I think that if we don't bring back the churches, what else can we do to have better communities? And keep in mind too, you know, churches, period, can help shaping, you know, a society, you know, but, you know, we just got to make sure that people don't turn into capitalists, you know, where they get to making money off the people, and people get too dependent on them, and now they calling all the shots and we can't do nothing without it. You know, we don't want it to get like that, but that's kind of how it got. So I just wonder, like, you know, how can the black community thrive, or, you know, if there is a real true black community, you know, how can we thrive How can we thrive without the power of the black church? You know? Yeah, so I want to have a little bit of fun, a little bit of celebrity, add some celebrity twist to this subject. Like Trump understanding the importance of black churches, only he might be a little late. If he would have did this maybe about 50 years ago, it would have made a little more sense. But, you know, going out, reaching out to black church leaders, you know, most of us expected he paid them, you know, but who knows, right? But, you know, he went up to those guys and going around acting like he supported the black community by going to these black church leaders and all that or whatever. I always kind of trip off that whole situation because it looks so awkward, and it looks like he is up to no good, he being Trump. You know, so it's like, bro, what are you doing? You already look like an idiot and you just make yourself look even worse. You know, Denzel Washington, from what I read, saying that he had a desire to become a preacher when he was, you know, before his acting took off. And he was strongly considering it. And, you know, it seems like he's obviously a God-fearing man, and you know, I know he directed and made the movie The Great Debaters, and for what I believe, I wonder if that college that was based off of, that black college that derived from a church. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. Let's see. Just doing a little research, guys. Look like it was founded by a church. And it was named after its Bishop. Okay, well that makes sense right there. So that pretty much that college that Great Debaters was based off of, you know, it derived from a church. So, and you know, I can see it makes sense why Denzel, yeah, obviously I don't know the real true reasons why Denzel decided to make that film, which is a great movie, by the way. I love that movie, one of my favorite movies. You know, Nate Parker, man, I love, you know, enjoy watching that guy act, and obviously Denzel, and then the, you know, everyone else. But yeah, it makes sense, you know, why he would make something like that. But great film, man. If anybody haven't had a chance to watch The Great Debaters, check it out, man. Really good movie. And what else celebrity stuff I like to you know watching that James Brown movie, you know, starring Chadwick Boseman, portrayed by Chadwick Boseman. He did an excellent job portraying the late great Godfather of Soul, James Brown. But you know, he was going to, you know, as a boy he was going to church and he was watching this preacher, and he kind of got some of his dance moves and his steps from this preacher he grew up watching and following. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool, man. And the preacher kind of looked like a pimp, you know. It's like you got a preacher pimp going on up in here, you know. But you know, not to poke too much fun at that, but that's how he looked, you know. You know, black churches are pretty cool too, man. They're very entertaining. But you feel the spirit of God in there. You feel it, man. You feel it. And then, you know, you see, you know, especially like particularly like Baptist churches, right? To get real specific with these type of black churches that that happen to be very entertaining with the music, you know, with the preaching, you know, the nickname, you know, flame blowers, if you want to call them preachers, you know, they shouting and chanting and all that or whatever. I love it. It's quite, you know, it's quite rejoicing, but kind of entertaining at the same time. And, you know, I enjoy watching T.D. Jakes, you know, and listen to his word. I really do. You know, he be preaching some real stuff, you know. And I like my mom's pastor who she used to go to when she's, you know, staying in, you know, California. But Pastor Craig of Cathedral Praise, great church. I've been going there here and there for a while with her. Great church. He preaches the word very well. You know, and obviously the church service is enjoyable. It's always entertaining, but it's rejoicing at the same time to get the word. But you know, that's one thing about the black churches. You know, it's going to be entertaining. I recommend anyone to go to them. Like, again, I don't have nothing against the churches. I don't have nothing against Christianity. I'm just, you know, got my questions, got my skepticism about it. You know, but I do understand how important black churches were and how they can be. But you know, and not to just pinpoint on, you know, some of these church leaders, you know, making a lot of money off the congregation, but you know, I want to pinpoint that. I'm sure there's other, you know, issues evolving. And, you know, I think maybe even the country itself and the society has something to do with it. And obviously people's personal beliefs, you know, people are starting to believe that, you know, maybe Christianity ain't what we thought it was when we were younger. That's, you know, like something like the way that I think. And that kind of got you away a little bit from church. Or, you know, you just flat out just don't believe in Christianity anymore. And you're like, it's make believe and it's not true. I'm probably one of those people too. And you just skeptic about the whole religion itself anyway, and you feel don't need to go to church. You got some people too, and there's a lot of people like this who just don't like dealing with the congregation. Just all, you know, all of the drama and all of the riffraff and he say, she say, and all the different stuff going on within the congregation, you know what I'm saying? All the little drama, you know, that can be tiring and that can draw you away too. I hear a lot of people talk about that. And, you know, so that's not good. And it's like some people may go to church only just to, you know, use it as something to, you know, to look good, so to speak. You know, hey, like, I'm going to church, you know what I'm saying? I look pretty good. I need validation now. Or, you know, people may use it, you know, to, you know, if they feel if they go to church and they just go into like the Sunday service, maybe they're really involved, but maybe they feel like they have more of an advantage than other people. So, you know, so they may have this arrogance about them, like, hey, you know, like, you missing something, you going to church and you missing out. So I have that advantage over you because I'm going to church and I know that's going to ensure that I'm going to heaven. You know, maybe people who think like that, and that may shy away other people, like, well, I don't like the way that their attitude is. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be judging me and all this or whatever. So it's a number of things. I'll even bring up maybe even, you know, homosexuality. You know, that might shy people away because people who maybe, within the gay community, and they don't feel comfortable going to church because they feel like, you know, they're against them. And, you know, people, you know, may read them some words and scriptures that speak against it. And that might shy them away. So it's a number of reasons why people don't go to church. And then probably also, you know, pop culture and the influence of pop culture, social media included, And you see all of this stuff about, you know, all of the Hebrew stuff, and, you know, black people used to are really the true Hebrews. And, you know, that don't really tie too much into Christianity either. That kind of goes against it. And, you know, people have those thoughts and opinions, and not to just say that it just come from pop culture or social media, but a lot of people do get that, especially a lot of the youngsters. They get a lot of the information from there, whether they want to admit it or not. And, you know, they get to questioning questioning things. So that can have a whole lot to do with it as well. So, you know, so a lot of beliefs, personal beliefs, a lot of speculation going on, which keep people from the church. But, you know, I think kind of where I was going, if we don't have church and we don't have this epicenter for our communities, what do we have? You know, what can we do to straighten this out, you know, to help the black community, right? And hell, you know, excuse my language, I don't want to say any bad words, especially that word, but heck, even other ethnicities in this country, you know, white people, Hispanics, you know, like, it just seems like the church, period, is not really thriving much. But, you know, this topic is mainly about black churches. Same thing, you know, what can we do? You know, these kids is going out of control. These youngsters are, and they look up to these pop culture icons. They look up to these rappers. They look up to these social media guys, you know. And then again, you know, you got to look at it like this too. Where are these social media guys? Where are they getting their influence from? Where are they learning from? You know, are they learning? Where are they getting the discipline from? You know, so, you know, we don't know. It's not really church, or it's not church at all. And then I want to touch on racism in the black church, right? And I was listening to Kirk Franklin speak on that. And what I got out of what he was saying, it was some video that I was watching on social media, and he was saying something like, he felt like the white preachers don't give the black churches enough support. It's kind of like just leave them to dry, you know, like whatever. And he's like, it shouldn't be like that. I thought we were all saints. I thought we were all brothers and sisters walking the same light, you know, walking the same path, right? And, you know, you don't really hear that. And then I agree with him totally. You know, where's the support when it comes to black churches, or just black people in general, from white churches, from white church leaders? You know, what's going on here? So, you know, if anything, they're probably teaching them a little bit of racism, or to practice it, or to believe like that in the church, all we know. So, heck, that would give you another reason for you not to really follow church. Because of stuff like that, because of racism. You know what I'm saying? And how about this? This is what I've always wondered too, some of the things. Like, do white people really respect black people who go to church? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I'm pretty sure if I asked that to generally a white person, they're like, oh yeah, of course, but yo, you don't act like it. But you know, so there's a lot of racism going on in church, and there is a very lack of support. And heck, it wasn't a whole lot of support from the jump. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going back to slavery. I was reading somewhere, they said after Nat Turner, after his rebellion, they made it a law in Virginia, and other states followed, for black people to not attend church unless a white person is present. So it's like, man, that can turn you the wrong way too. Like, you know, and then black people started coming up with invisible churches, where they started having like hidden churches and hidden congregations, or start making hidden churches and hidden congregations in their plantations. So it might be like underground or something like that or whatever. And then it actually took them away from, you know, white people, you know, so they can focus on themselves and you know, and not worry about all the stuff that they got to go through, man, all that drama that all them white people put them through, you know. So, you know, so where was the preachers, where was the white churches then? Like, you know what, leave these people alone, you know, they people of God. And it's like, where's the support now, you know? If, you know, so that makes you wonder, and you know, what's really going on. So those are some of the things that I got from you guys, man, that I have for you guys. And pretty much what can you guys get out of this is, what can we do, particularly black people, I'm talking to y'all, what can we do to help these, particularly these youngsters with the discipline? You know, like, they're going out into this world and a lot of them are lost. A lot of them don't know. A lot of them think like rappers. You know what I'm saying? The rappers who, you know, they get their stuff from the streets. A lot of them about living that street life. That's not what you want your kids to think like and be like. You don't want that. But can you have blame them? They don't know any better. So we need to do something, particularly for the youth, to have some discipline, to honor something, to be respectful, to be knowledgeable, to know how to talk to people. When they go out into the world, these kids, and they got to get real jobs, how are they going to be able to conduct themselves? How are they going to be able to handle themselves? Because they go to these jobs and they can't. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to act. They don't even want to work. I guess they think that they supposed to, you know, automatically make a lot of money and not put into it. And a lot of them don't have the skills but in particular, they don't have the discipline to do it. So we got to do something about that, guys. You know, so that's what I got for y'all. And hey, always remember to speak your mind. This is Freedom of Mind, y'all.